Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Dylan. We are Mountain Murders, an Appalachian true crime podcast dropping weekly episodes every Sunday.
Our show offers well-researched cases with unique storytelling and southern flavor.
Stories so good, you'll want to sop them up with a biscuit.
Ooh, I pull back the curtain on lesser known and often obscure regional cases from Georgia to Maine, exploring the darkness that lurks deep in the heart of Appalachia.
And I react with profound statements.
You mean profoundly stupid statements?
Something like that.
We're not your stereotypical hillbillies.
But we do like moonshine.
It'll tickle your innards.
Join us every Wednesday for Mountain Murders Offbeat.
Offbeat is a mini episode covering a variety of topics from true crime to conspiracy theories, the paranormal, and Appalachian-centric subjects.
Find Mountain Murders anywhere you download podcasts. Hit subscribe today to catch up on our latest episodes or binge our catalog.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify or through my email or social media. All links can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow, review, and rate. All that really helps out the podcast. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight's story has a definite destination. I hope you're still with us when we get there. The play is called Welcome to Homerville.
It's a long way to go, and the road ahead is troubled. But this old brig and me, we're gonna make it. Through the wind and rain and thunder, till the stormy skies are blue, and the sunrise lights the highway heading home. It's a long, lonesome road through the lifetime of the trucker. But this old truck and me, we're gonna make it. Yeah, me and this good old friend, we're gonna make it.
Hey, my friendlies, that was good old country boy C.W. McCall, just a-moving and grooving on down that long, lonesome road, shaking the time to just 20 minutes on the shy side of midnight right here on WQRN, the big voice of country music in the Wolverine State. By the way, baby, if you are driving by a church, you just slow down here, because you just might see a bunch of folks building an ark, because we are in for a motherload of rain early this a.m. And while I'm warming up motherloads, here's a little mother I would just dearly love to get loaded with. Miss Tammy Wynette, running us up to 18 minutes on the left-hand side of the hour. Go. Do it, Tammy.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. And if you love him,
are you still with us? Well, the writers responsible for this latest excursion are Don Dickens and Alan Gutman. Pleasant journey.
Stand by your man. Give him your arms to hold. Don't wound the deer.
Cold and lonely.
Stand by your man and tell the world you love him.
Breaker, break 1-9. Yeah, this is the one, Georgia Strait. I'm out the back door of an 18-wheeler with Big Apple plates. You got your ears on there, good buddy? Come on.
This is KXR 0461. I hear you back there, Georgia Strait, and I've got you in my mirrors. Go.
Yeah, that's four for sure there. Just wanted a jaw there, good buddy. What's your handle? Come on.
This is Paper Pusher, Georgia Strait. Where are you headed? Come back.
I'm on the rebound from the Nickel City hauling stale air there. Left a load of Texas strawberries, took a busted sidewalk to Motown, rub eyeballs with a snuff dipper. First sergeant finds out, all Big Reese's side up. Come on.
Georgia Strait.
Yeah, go, good buddy.
What the hell are you talking about? Over.
Damned if I know. I think I said I left my shoes in Kansas. Come on.
I tell you what, why don't we just talk straight? Over.
I won't tell anyone if you won't. You been out long there, come on?
Yeah, it's my third day. You know this neck of the woods at all? I've never been up this way before. Over.
Yeah, I've been known to cruise these boonies. Smoke can get pretty thick up here. Come on.
Hey, I asked for a straight. Go.
I do apologize, Paper Pusher. But what I mean is that the Smokies, I mean the cops, come down pretty hard on speeders hereabouts. Come on.
No sweat. I'm in no hurry. I got a load of newsprint on. It can't go bad. Listen, is there a stop hereabouts? Go.
Why, you gotta shake hands with Shorty? Come on.
I hope you don't talk to your mother with that mouth. I'm trying to tell you I'm hungry. Come on.
Yeah, that's definitely a four for sure. There's a chew and choke in about 10 miles. Sorry, I can't join you for a cup of road tar, but this is my exit coming up. Where'd you say you were headed? Come on.
Well, I didn't say. I'm headed for Homerville. Have I got the best route? Over. Georgia Strait, do you read me? Over.
Did you say Homerville? Come on.
Right, Homerville. Over.
Homerville? You gotta be crazy. You heard them stories?
Stories? Now, what stories, Go?
Hey, listen, turn back right now before you get there.
What?
You ain't never gonna get there in one piece.
Come in, Georgia Strait. Over.
You gotta turn back now while you can.
What the hell was all that about?
Sure, that's what the police say, but it don't make sense to me.
Well, somebody told me one of his front tires was bald as a baby's bum. Must have blown out.
No way. I rode with Norm for 2 years. Nobody took better care of his rig than him. Ask me.
Roy, did you have the satchel?
No, that's me, Matt. Thanks.
You get the cabbage rolls.
Yeah.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Will it be?
Well, what's he having? Looks pretty good.
Cabbage rolls?
Yeah, I guess.
Anything else?
Well, bring me a coffee, huh? Make it black.
It's on its way.
Hey, Roy, is Norm have any family?
Oh, a wife, no kids, separate.
Oh, yeah?
You know. Too many hours on the road?
Usual.
Sounds familiar.
I don't know. Still doesn't add up.
Here you go. One cabbage rolls.
Yeah, thanks.
Say, buddy. You sure you want to eat those things?
I think I can handle them.
Earl, just let the man eat.
Oh, sorry, sir.
No problem.
Have I seen you here before?
No, never been up this way. Oh, by the way, my name's R.C.
Hi, I'm Roy, and the food expert here is Earl.
Glad to know you. Which way you headed?
I'm hauling newsprint up to Homerville.
Homerville?
Wasn't that where they found Norm?
Yeah, yeah.
Homerville, huh? That's quite a ways from here.
Bad road up there.
Yeah? What do you mean?
Well, there's been a lot of accidents up that way.
Bad ones.
Well, I'll take it easy. I'm in no rush.
No one waiting back home?
Well, yeah, my wife, but I've been driving a long time. She's used to waiting.
Take it from me. I never get used to it.
Anything else here?
No, that's fine. God, look at the time. You got a phone here, said I'd call home hours ago.
Yep, it's over in the corner.
Yeah, well, thanks.
That'll be $2.95.
Oh, right. Well, listen, here's 10. I'll be right back. See you guys in a few minutes. Hmm?
Sure.
Tell her you miss her cooking.
Operator.
I want to make a collect call to area code 555. The number is 486-7934.
What is your name, sir?
Just say it's RC.
One moment, please. I'm sorry, sir. I am not getting an...
Hello?
I don't know. It's 1 o'clock, for God's sake. I have a collect call for anyone from RC. Would you accept the charges?
RC? Sure.
Go ahead, sir.
Did I wake you, honey?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I was just watching Johnny Carson. Hey, why are you calling? Something wrong?
No, I'm okay. I just thought I'd give you a call, see how you're doing.
I'm fine. You on your way home?
No, it's going to take longer than I thought. Probably won't make it back till Saturday.
Oh. Too bad.
Yeah. I tell you what. Why don't I pick you up after work and we'll go to a show or something?
Hmm? Won't you be too tired, honey? Last time you went to a show...
No, really. I want to.
Well, sure. That'll be just fine.
So, what'd you do today?
What? Oh, not much. Slow day, you know. Knocked off early.
Hey, Rosie. Are you okay? You sound a little... I don't know.
RC, I'm tired. It's late, you know?
Sorry, I meant to phone you earlier, but I was making good time.
Oh, damn it.
What was that?
Just something on TV.
It didn't sound like...
It was the TV.
Okay.
Look, RC, it's late. I gotta get up early.
Sure, okay.
See you Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll pick you up, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you have a good trip.
Okay. Rose, miss me?
Hey, mister! Here's your chain!
Hmm?
Oh, forget it. You keep it.
Breaker 19, this is KXRO461, the paper pusher. Anybody want to give me a shout? Come on. This is the paper pusher. Anybody out there want to give me a nickel's worth? Go.
Breaker, this is NSU2496, Grand Falls Beacon. I got you wall to wall, paper pusher. Want to chew the fat? Over.
Roger. Where are you headed, Beacon? Go.
Well, I was heading to the kitchen for a sandwich till I heard your call. Come on.
Now that must be some kind of rig you're driving. Over.
Yeah, it's a two-story split level. Good on gas, though. Over.
Base station, huh? That's great. I don't get much chance to talk to many of you desk jockeys, just other high riders. You done any driving yourself, Go?
Oh, sure have, but not lately. Where you headed, paper pusher? Over.
I'm bound for Homerville. Over.
Where? Throw that back at me again, Go.
Homerville? Ever hear of it? Over.
I'll never forget it. Listen, good buddy, how long you been on the road to Dago?
I guess I'm looking at 15, 16 hours, but traffic's light, so I've been trying to push through. Over.
Where are you now, paper pusher? Over.
Route 25, just past 113. Why? Come back?
Well, you're heading into a bad stretch of road.
What do you mean?
You got about 100 miles to go. What I mean is it might be easier to take after a night's sleep. The mind can do strange things when you're on a long haul. It's a lonely life. Sometimes we need someone riding beside us, someone to talk to, someone to turn to when danger threatens. Find you're not alone.
Breaker, Beacon, are you reading me? Over.
Since Omobile, I put my life in God's hands. Honey, he took away my sight and let me see.
Breaker, Beacon, I'm losing you. Over.
Don't be led into temptation. Don't listen to that voice.
Beacon, didn't copy that. Please repeat. Over. Hey, is anybody out there?
Hey, by golly, it's Miss Dolly Parton. Yeah, and her big two doors down. Anybody don't like that little lady just don't like chicken on Sunday. It's coming on 3 in the a.m. right here on WQRN, the big voice of country music in the Wolverine State. And time. And time for one last look at the weather. I'll bet you're just hoping for a nice day today.
Oh, it better be.
Yeah, warm and sunny with a big blue sky.
Yeah, I'll take a dozen.
Yeah, well, you better move it on down to Florida, my man, because the rain's going to come down like a son of a gun with temperatures in the low 50s.
Damn.
You know, baby, I sit here and wonder just who's out there listening to WQRN at this hour. Up late, can't sleep, out on the road. Yeah, man, hey, take a look at the car up ahead of you, baby. I'll bet you he's listening to WQRN, too. You got something in common, and you don't even know it. Tell you what, my man, why don't you just give him a little honk?
You gotta be kidding.
Come on, baby, don't be shy. I'm gonna give you a couple of seconds here.
What the hell?
Now, don't that feel better?
I feel like a fool. There's nobody out here.
You are with WQRN, top of the charts in country music.
So play something, will you?
WQRN now concludes its broadcast day. Our studios are located at 1063 Lombard Street and operate at an assigned frequency. Damn it.
Breaker 19. Anybody out there? Come on. Anybody out there? Over.
What's the use? So, good night. Until we say good morning at 6:30.
Much further now, R.C. Why, you're almost there.
Jesus!
Hey, you okay?
Huh? Yeah, a bit shaky. Well, that's better.
Fill her up?
Yeah. It should take about 40.
You got it. You scared the fenders off that guy up there.
Huh?
There wasn't enough daylight between you two to light a match.
Oh, yeah, I guess it was kind of close.
You're close. You get that close to a woman, you could get her in trouble. What, you doze off?
No.
I was listening to the radio. Yeah, that's how it usually happens.
Well, it's a matter of
fact. Yeah, I know. I've heard it all before.
It was the damnedest thing.
Yeah. Trouble with your old lady? Too much time on the road? And maybe she's playing around and you wish you were? You check your own?
No, it's fine. How did you...
Heading for Omaville, aren't you?
Yeah, how did you know?
Oh, a newsprint.
Yeah?
Now, don't look at me cockeyed, boy. You can smell that stuff a mile away. You got quite a drive ahead of you, 200 miles. There you go. Don't take that much after all.
How much do I owe you?
Read it and weep.
Now, hold it. Did you say 200 miles?
Well, it's been 200 miles to Homerville as long as I can remember. Unless they moved it. Hey, you want a receipt?
Yeah, okay.
Seems kind of a waste to fill her up.
200 miles? How does that go, anyway? Oh, yeah. Two doors down, getting drunk and having a party. Two doors down. Breaker, this is KXR 0461. Anybody home? Come on. Anybody there? Go. Stand by your man. And that was the paper pusher heading down that long, lonesome road. It was 25 minutes on the far side of 4 o'clock on KXR 0461. Voice of country music here in the Wolverine State. That was a Wolverine. It's request night here on Route 40, so give us a call and we'll play your favorite tune. Any requests, neighbors?
Y'all come to me, R.C. It's really not much further now.
What? Who the hell is that? Come on now. Answer me.
Oh, you're almost here. Hurry on now, R.C. Just a little further.
Who are you? What do you want?
It's taken you so long to get here. And I'm waiting on you, sugar.
Waiting? What do you mean, waiting for me? Where are you?
I'm close, I see. Why, I'm almost close enough to touch.
What are you trying to do to me? Oh, my God. What the hell am I doing?
Want to step out of the cab, please?
Are you there? Are you still there?
Come on, pal. Get out of that cab.
Sure, right away. Look, officer, I know it looks like I've been drinking or something.
It had crossed my mind.
Guess I was moving at a pretty good clip.
For a plane, no. For a truck, yes. Let's have a look at your license.
Yeah, well... Here you go.
Thanks. Well, Mr. O'Connor, would you mind standing with your legs apart and your arms out to the side, please?
Oh, but you don't understand.
Mr. O'Connor, you'll make it easier on both of us if you just do it.
Okay.
Would you place your right index finger on your nose, please? Now your left.
I wasn't drinking.
Is this your vehicle?
Yeah, I lease it.
You have the papers, please?
Yeah, they're in the cab.
May I see them, please?
Look, I'm trying to tell you. I was getting a signal on my CB.
On your CB? What kind of signal? What did you hear?
Well, it was a woman's voice.
What? Look, you looked like you could... use some sleep. Were you planning to take a break?
No. I was trying to push on through tonight.
Well, Connor, I've seen a lot of guys in your condition. Take it from me, you'd be better off getting a little rest.
You'd find a motel 2 miles up the road. If I were you, I'd stop there and get some sleep. You got more than 200 miles to go. If you ever want to see Homerville...
Homerville? Oh, wait! How did you...
If I ever want to see it...
Are you okay?
You hurt bad.
My back.
Can you make it to the truck, buddy? We'll get you to a doctor.
My back. I can't move.
Can you hang on? I'll go get help.
It's here. It's right in the car.
She... Was there someone with you? Where?
Someone.
Hang on. Hang on. I'll go get help. Brake, Channel 9. We've got a 1034. Mayday. This is KXRO461. Over. Mayday. Mayday, a 1034. Can anybody hear me? Over.
I hear you, R.C.
No, get off this channel.
Oh, my, you're close. You're so close, R.C.
Stop it. Stop it. Leave me alone.
You're almost here.
Leave me alone.
Here we are. Welcome to Homerville. Welcome home.
You have just heard Welcome to Homerville by Alan Gutman and Don Dickinson. Neil Daynard was featured as R.C. O'Connor, with Jimmy Morris as the announcer, John Stocker as Georgia Strait, Frank Perry and Robert Christie as Roy and Earl, Corinne Langston as Betty the waitress, Marion Waldman as the telephone operator, and Elva Mae Hoover as Rosie. You also heard Ron Hartman as Beacon, Arch McDonald as the gas station attendant, Bud Knapp as the highway cop, Gordon Thompson as the injured motorist, and Lynn Barragon as the siren. Our recording engineer is Ray Falsick, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. The senior script editor is John Douglas, and our production assistant is Doris Buchanan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell. And now... here's a final word from your host.
Hello again. Glad to hear you made it. On next week's Nightfall, I'll be bringing you a special kind of trapped animal. There. That'll hold them for a while. They can't get in. But I can't get out. It's a cage! Hands off. Next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful. At the edge.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall.
Good evening. Tonight, let's join the master dreamer, Edgar Allan Poe, the listener who first heard the telltale heart.
True. Nervous. Very, very dreadfully nervous. I had been, and am. But why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all, was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. Now then, am I mad? Observe how healthily, how calmly, I can tell you the whole story. I was wandering on my way to nowhere. Away from... That's my secret. We all have secrets. And I came to the old man's place on the edge of this town and asked for a dipper of water.
There you are, fella. Best spring water around here.
That's good and cold. I needed that.
Shall I fill the dipper again?
I could drink another.
Have you come far?
Yes, far.
Much further to go?
Don't know.
You're thin, fella. The sun's burnt your skin to a bark. Here, but don't drown yourself drinking it.
That's good.
I should give you something solid. A meal. I eat late after the chores, if you don't mind waiting.
I'm used to long waits for meals. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, no need.
I'm not afraid to work for a meal.
Well, all right, if you wish.
It'll feel good to have a hay fork in my hands again.
I've been needing a man around here.
Need a man?
I can do a full day's work, but toward night it gets heavy. Still, a man's wife dead and buried last winter, and his three daughters married and gone to their husband's farms. His two sons off to seek more than this small farm can promise. A man needs work to keep his thoughts from growing heavy.
Yes, I know.
What's your name?
Alfred Bain.
Weatherby's mine. The pigs and chickens haven't been fed, nor the team, and I've six cows to milk and the seventh freshening shortly. Come along then to the barn.
I stayed on and worked for the old man. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain. But once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none. Passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. For his gold, I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. he had the eye of a vulture. His left eye, a pale blue eye with a film over it.
Shall we cut hay tomorrow, Alfred?
Hay? Yes, we can cut hay, but doesn't the sky say rain?
No, that's not a rain sky for around here.
It is where I come from.
That'll clear by the morning. I can feel rain when it's on its way. I have a way of feeling what's ahead.
Do you? Of what's ahead? What is?
No, I don't want to know.
And you can't know everything.
Far from it.
The weather's enough.
Go sharpen the scythes.
Whenever his pale blue eye fell on me, my blood ran cold. And so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man, and thus rid myself of the eye forever. It was an evil eye, but Weatherby was very kind to me. No one had been this kind. It was too much to bear. You fancy me mad? Madmen know nothing. But you should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him.
Let me carry those horse collars and harnesses, Mr. Weatherby. I'll hook up the team.
Oh, no, no. Why should you?
Yes, let me. Here, let go the traces.
You've more than earned your keep today and your wages.
But not your kindness.
Ha! How else should one treat a hired man? My sons thought I was a tyrant.
A tyrant?
Perhaps I do treat you better than I treated the boys. Now, that is strange.
Why do you?
I don't know. Because you're not afraid of work. My sons thought they were too clever to work. But I didn't treat them so badly.
Some people should be treated badly.
Scoundrels? I've never met a real scoundrel.
Some innocent people should be treated badly, too.
What an idea.
They should be treated the worst of all.
Why do you say that, Alfred?
Isn't that the way life is?
Toss that line over. No, I'll snap the buckle on here. I'm not an invalid, Alfred. I'm not that old yet.
I'd hate to see you an invalid. I wouldn't want that for you.
Nor I.
I'd like to do something for you you would like, Mr. Weatherby.
What for?
You've admired this knife. Could I give you this knife?
No, keep it. There's no reason you should give it to me.
I've been insulted by people I respected. You haven't insulted me yet.
Well, why should I? I must get on to the elders' meeting.
There. Horse is all hooked up. Up you go.
How did I manage without you, Alfred? Gee up. I hope I persuaded you to stay on.
Every night, about midnight, I turned the latch of Weatherby's chamber door and opened it, oh so gently. And then, when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, so that no light shone out, and then I thrust in my head. When I was well in the room, I undid the lantern cautiously, oh so cautiously, just so much that a single thin ray fell upon the vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, every night, just at midnight. But I found the eye always closed, so that it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye. And every morning, when the day broke, I went boldly into the chamber and spoke courageously to him.
Good morning, sir. Do you want the shutters open?
What manner of day is it?
Fine day. Warm sun and a little breeze from the east.
Yes. Open the shutters.
You slept well?
Yes. I slept well.
Happy to hear that. We start repairing the stone wall to the west field this morning?
Yes, I suppose so.
Porridge is ready. And the coffee.
Hand me my boots, sir.
Oh.
Alfred, I do not understand you.
Understand me?
A hard-working, reliable man like you, drifting about. Oh, my back. I'm an old man, I fear. Not long, I feel.
You're not feeling up to yourself?
I don't know. More than likely, it was only a bad dream that left me liverish.
What did you dream?
Oh, it is gone now. It's good I have you around, Alfred. When Amelia went to her rest last winter, I was willing to go to mine. But lately, her face has grown vague to me. We had a long life together, she and I. And it was good till these last few years when some mold crept in. Which way should I face? Toward rest or restlessness? What am I waiting for? I wish I knew.
Breakfast, breakfast. Get up and everything will look different.
Oh, it is easy to make the days look different. The nights are always the same. The same.
On the eighth day, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. Never before that night had I felt the extent of my own power, of my sagacity. I could scarcely contain my feeling of triumph. To think that there I was, opening the door little by little, and he not even to dream of my secret deeds or thoughts. I fairly chuckled at the idea, and perhaps he heard me. For he moved on the bed suddenly as if startled. Now, you may think that I drew back, but no. His room was as black as pitch with the thick darkness, and so I knew he could not see the opening of the door, and I kept pushing it on steadily, steadily. I had my head in and was about to open the lantern.
Who's there? Who is there?
I kept still and said nothing. For a whole hour, I did not move a muscle. I did not hear him lie down, no. He sat up in bed, listening, just as I have done night after night, hearkening to the death watches in the wall. It was not a groan of pain or grief the old man made, oh no. It was a low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul. A groan of mortal terror. I knew the sound well. Many a night when all the world slept, it has welled up from my own bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I knew what the old man felt, and pitied him, although I chuckled at heart.
Is it the wind? No, there's no one. What is it? Who is there? No, there's nothing to see but to hear. But I feel. Feel a presence. I've known you were coming for me. Death, the dark shadow. It's the wrong time before the crops are in, and while I've still some business to arrange with people in the town, my house is not in order. Do not surround me this way!
I opened a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. You cannot imagine how stealthily. Until a single dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot from the crevice and fell full upon the vulture eye. It was open. Wide. Wide open, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it, all dull blue with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow in my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct precisely upon the damned spot. Have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but over-acuteness of the senses? Now, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier into courage.
Why do you wait, Death? Why do you wait? You didn't hesitate with Amelia. She had a shawl half knitted. I have much half done and less than half.
I scarcely breathed. I held the lantern motionless. I tried to see how steadily I could maintain the ray upon the eye. Meanwhile, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. I have told you that I am nervous, so I am. And now, at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror, yet for some minutes longer, I refrained and stood still. But the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst, and a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it!
What?
Go away.
I threw open the lantern and dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. For many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. At length, it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes, he was stone dead. I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there. Many minutes, there was no pulsation. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. If you still think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. First of all, I dismembered the corpse. I then took up three planks from the flooring of the chamber and deposited all between the scantlings. I replaced the board so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no blood spot whatever. I had been too wary for that. A tub had caught all. Old man under the planks. You were a good man. If I could have plucked out the evil eye without killing you, that is what I would have done. Don't think badly of me, Mr. Weatherby. I did you a good turn, too, ridding you of that evil eye. But if I've done any wrong, it's because of that evil eye looking at me, giving me thoughts no man should have. But I haven't done wrong. I've done good. A great deal of good. And everything... Who? At the door. At 4 a.m. But what have I now to fear? Nothing. The eye is closed, and the heart is still.
Sorry to bother you at this hour.
Yes?
We're officers of the town's night watch.
Is something the matter?
We'd like to speak to Mr. Weatherby.
Mr. Weatherby? You would like to speak to him, but he is not here.
Where is he?
The old gentleman has gone visiting in the country.
Where?
That he didn't say when he left. Perhaps one of his daughters, but he didn't say.
His buggy is in the yard, and his horses in the barn.
Ah, yes, he took a ride with some friends of his who were traveling the same way.
What friends?
That I don't know. I don't know all his friends. Mr. Weatherby has so many.
You're his hired man?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen him about the town. What brought you here?
A rainbow.
What's that?
Isn't everyone looking for a rainbow?
Yeah. One of the neighbors heard a shriek that sounded like trouble and came to the police office to tell us about it, and we've been ordered to investigate.
And search the house.
The shriek? Yes, the shriek was from a dream. A nightmare I was having. I dreamt a light from a lantern was shining in my eyes. But do come in. Mr. Weatherby will be pleased to learn the police give him such good protection. He has some valuable plate and coins in his cupboards. Come in.
We shall. Why is it you're dressed already?
I start my chores soon.
Your name is Alfred.
Alfred what?
Bain. Alfred Bain. Search everywhere. Go ahead. I don't know what you're looking for or what you expect. Robbers? Then you must make a careful search. Let me show you Mr. Weatherby's treasures. Perhaps you'd like to see his chamber, too. Come with me, I'll show you. I'd hate to have trouble here while Mr. Weatherby's away.
There is nothing wrong here.
Everything seems in order.
I'm glad you came and looked around. And is there anywhere else you'd wish to look?
No, I think not.
Well, sit down. Don't go yet. Rest yourselves. Sit there and here. I'll fetch a chair for myself. How well you've done your duty. I must commend you. No, the light of that lamp will be in my eyes there. I'll put my chair here. How fine it must be working as a police officer, protecting the townspeople from theft and robbery and violence.
Oh, it's a living.
I've often wanted to be a police officer.
Have you? Well.
My senses are very acute. I hear the most minute sounds around me. I'm very sensitive to everything. Perhaps I shall still end up as a police officer. That would suit me admirably.
When will Mr. Weatherby be returning?
I don't know. Shortly, I hope. There's the oats to cut if this hot sun stays with us.
The crops are good this year hereabouts.
Excellent. Mr. Weatherby is very pleased with his. He says I brought him luck.
A hired man does that sometimes.
Oh, but I can't take credit for that.
Mr. Weatherby speaks well of you, I hear.
Does he? Does he?
And Weatherby, in the past, has been hard to please. Here, take a pipe full of tobacco from my pouch.
No.
Yes, please do.
Oh, thank you.
We are not supposed to smoke on duty.
But the full watch without a pipe is a long time?
We'll have to trust you not to inform the captain, huh?
The officers were satisfied.
You're up early in the morning.
My manner had convinced them. I was singularly at ease with my chair upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim. The officers sat and chatted of familiar things, but ere long I felt myself getting pale and wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied a ringing in my ears, but still they sat and chatted. the ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distant.
The new street lamps in the town have made old job a little easier and more pleasant, especially on very dark nights.
Oh, I'm sure, But out here, on the edge of town, there are not many lamps. And there should be more. Several more, at least.
Oh, someday.
People are always stumbling into holes and hurting themselves. One day, someone will break a leg.
But these things take time. The town has come along. Indeed.
Yes, I like this town. I hope I can settle down here.
Well, why not?
Yes, well, why not?
Mr. Weatherby certainly needs a good man. He's grown too old to do much of the work around here himself.
That's exactly what I feel. Exactly. Mr. Weatherby needs someone, and why not me?
He and his sons couldn't get along. Oh, the fighting that went on.
A difficult man.
I don't understand that. He and I have never had an argument. We've gotten along very well. Scarcely a cross word.
You must be a rare fella.
No, it's Mr. Weatherby who's the exceptional man.
He's had his troubles. His old family leaving and his wife dying, the aches and pains of old age, and losing the sight of his left eye.
His left eye? He's blind in that left eye?
You didn't know?
No, I did not.
That's why it stares that way, and sometimes wanders on its own.
He can't see out of it, his left eye?
Not a speck.
No doubt I grew very pale. I realized the noise was not within my ears. It increased. It was a low, dull, quick sound, such a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I rose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent gestures. Why would they not be gone, those officers? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides as if excited to fury by the observations of the men, but the noise steadily increased.
Sit down, Mr. Bain, sit down. I'm not going to argue with you over which line of thoroughbred has produced the better horse.
No, don't give in. Argue with me.
Argue what?
You made a statement, and now you won't stand by it. You won't back it up.
For my life, I can't remember what the statement was I made that started this whole thing.
Nor can I.
The two of you? Then I'm being made a fool of.
No, we're simply talking. Can't we talk?
Talk. Say anything you like, and I won't disagree with you. I can be as sociable as anyone else and agree, no matter what is said. You do not need to convince me either. What do you wish to say?
Oh, come now. One doesn't go at talk as baldly as that. One slips into it. I like talk to slide in of its own accord, don't you?
Do I?
I don't like talk that's too careful either or touchy. Easy talk is what I like.
Ah, easy talk and a fire and smoke.
Oh, stop it. This chatter and the smiles, those smiles, yours and yours. Is it possible you don't hear that?
Hear what?
Listen to it. Louder, louder, louder.
What?
You hear, both of you. You suspect. You know. You're making a mockery of my horror. I cannot bear your hypocritical smiles any longer. I must scream or die.
What's taken hold of you?
What's wrong with you? Villains! No more pretense. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks. Here. It's the beating of his hideous heart. It has stopped.
Here. Let's see what is under those planks.
It has stopped.